offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again, thank you so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do we vow the noble truth of suffering? Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Prajita Virdaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, their joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings brings no discredit. By a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics. Nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, and in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sama. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. dear to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm just having a really good time with practice recently, and it's just fun to let that energy come up and acknowledge it, just completely free.
Uh-huh.
No buts, no anything else, just embodying that.
Wow, just letting the enjoyment of practice, just having a lot of fun with practice right now, letting that energy come up unimpeded, unjudged, unqualified, just letting it run.
Yeah, and I mean, there are some sort of circumstantial things, like we have some visiting monks here, and that's always exciting and brings energy to the group. We just have been on retreat for a while, really went through the bulk of our retreat season over the last 3 or 4 months, and that's just transformational right here, And Center is having its grand opening today, so there's just all of that, and being present to taking all that in. And because life's, there's always wonderful things going on in life.
Yeah, really good point. That there are all these kind of circumstantial things, retreats and center opening and visiting mice and all of that stuff, and you're really allowing yourself to be present to it.
Yeah.
And that feels like a real joyous experience, and it drops in that, that's always happening. There's always really exciting circumstantial things happen.
Yeah. When you were reflecting that, I was just seeing something I had been looking at, or I looked at a long time ago, maybe when I first moved here, about getting used to feeling good. I was like, oh, I think it's okay to feel good. I can fully let that can happen. I don't know if the word is safe or what it is, but there's like a larger capacity to feel good and not have to go get that siphoned off as part of, well, this is how I am. I mean, I can go well for a while, but then da-da-da-da-da. That doesn't seem as necessary, or I catch it sooner, or the dip off is shorter, something like that.
Yeah, so the process that you're seeing is that the container seems to be more expansive or able to hold the feeling good, whereas early on, when you were first year, you saw that there was this practicing with, it's okay to feel good, and it seems like that's what's going on, is that it really is okay to allow that feeling good to be there, without there being a, okay, now we got to rein it back in, or that's really enough now, now we got to kind of shrink it back now to what we're really comfortable with, and like, don't get to be feeling too good, there's none of that that's happening right now, you're just allowing it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is some of that does happen. I mean, I think anytime I'm entertaining a conversation or engaging in one, but it's like even that's not a problem.
Yeah.
I just see that as the process of waking up. And I think when I was listening to what you're, the reflection, it's just spending more time in what I am and being clear about that. So even if there's voices going on or self-hatred, I'm just more clear that that's not me. Or even if I get identified, it's like, well, it's more interesting, not a problem.
Yeah, so would you say that it's the container is so big, it can hold even that little voice of trying to limit the happiness or limit the feeling good or whatever, but there's just no confusion about who you are, that is you.
So I've been doing a practice I think has been really helping with that. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of something that often comes up for me, which is don't try to get rid of things in your life that you don't like or don't want. So, like, don't try to stop self-hate. Just add to your life what you do want. Mm-hmm. And I love the practice of writing love letters mm-hmm. to myself. And so I committed, I think today's day 11 of a 40-day commitment of every day writing a love letter. Mm-hmm. And then I record it, and then that's what I wake up into. Mm-hmm. And wow, you know?
Yeah, I bet they're
all
going to steal that one.
Yeah. It's funny because I've done that before, and it's like, I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that doesn't have to be every couple of months, you know?
Only when there's something else going on.
Exactly. And it's like, well, that's silly. I could do that all the time. And I love both writing it because I make that movement to that place of compassion, uh-huh. of seeing Scott. You know, and I love that, practicing that movement, being in that place. And it seems like I'm receiving at that same time. And then when I'm listening, I'm definitely receiving.
Yeah.
And again, it's reinforcement about what I am. I'm spending more time in that place of what we truly are.
Yes. Yeah, reinforcement of what you are by spending time in that place.
Yeah.
And getting to be both the giver and the receiver.
Yes.
By writing the love, by first the making the commitment, by keeping the commitments, by writing the love letter, by reading it, by listening to it, waking up into it. It's just a full round-the-clock, you know, immersion in the love and the well-being that is truly what you are. Mm.
And the last thing that was coming up for me is that being able to relax into what we are, does have something to do with the commitment. Because it's sort of like, oh, day 5, he's still doing this. Mm-hmm. Day 6, wow, he's still, wow. You mean you're gonna keep doing this every day for the day? You know, it's just, it's that trust that's being built, that you can just completely let go of the system. You don't have to be on guard or be ready for something. We're held in this love all the time. And I was just hearing recently that a heart that's surrounded by love can never be harmed.
Yeah, you know, it's arising because you say, talk about that sort of realization that, wow, it's really keeping this commitment. Wow, it's day 11, he's still showing. You know, that we often talk about when people start meditating. You know, if you're going to do 3 minutes a day, do 3 minutes a day. Uh-huh. Because what we're doing is we're building that relationship with our heart.
Yeah.
Building that trust,
yes.
that credibility, that I'm a person who does what he says he's going to do. And that's, you know, and just living in that is yielding a relaxation.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem what the voices do. It's not a problem what happens. It's not, you know, nothing is a problem. I can relax into what I am. Mm-hmm. What I am is this love, this well-being, this commitment,
mm-hmm.
trust.
Yes.
Thank you. Asha.
Well, I'm deeply grateful for this opportunity to come be Easter Monk here. And it feels like part of my life. It's like that what gives a structure to my year.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's every year, and I hope it continues, it's just it's kind of deeply ingrained Had this vision when I was coming just with some luggage to the porch. I turned around and I saw myself last year leaving. So it felt like it was just yesterday I left and here I'm back again. And it felt like I'm here. This is the time, you know. I don't know how to describe it, but this is, I saw someone who I left here and he just rejoined me.
Yeah. So as you were arriving yesterday, you saw, and bringing the luggage up to the porch, you had this sense of, wow, it was just yesterday that I was here, and I'm meeting myself here again, this place, this practice. And not only the practice with the capital P, but your practice of coming annually as a visiting monk. And that really gives structure to your whole life. And it felt like a sort of a homecoming or a reunion with that Pasha who does that.
Yes. And it was a strange feeling that I guess the presence here is rarely found outside, and kind of meeting here, it connects those visiting monks together into my presence here and participating in this practice, and it just feels it feels good. At the same time, conditioning is kind of knows what it means. No, there is no regular entertainment and distractions and oh my god and so on. So all the drama starts, and it's kind of good to see from outside, not getting identified like, oh, okay, with that presence comes that the thing that you're clinging and trying to all the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It strikes me as what you're laying out is it's the that choice that we have in every moment, and it's very clear as you laid it out as you were writing. So here is this what's offered is the presence that it sounds like your heart really wants and practices diligently and desires and gets to experience, in any number of places. And then simultaneously arising with that is the conditioned story of deprivation, of, oh yeah, it means this and that, we're not going to be able to, blah, blah, blah. And there they both are, right? To get to see that with the presence arises the conditioned response to try to pull the attention away.
Yes, and I like the point you're making that there is a choice. I felt it. That the amazing part, I'm not just kind of like following life and life is just happening to me. I'm part of life. I'm making life. I'm participating, and I'm kind of co-creating this life. Anything I want, and that's amazing for me. That we are. Not only the readers of the Book of Life, but we are the authors.
Uh-huh.
And here's the next page, and it's blank, and it's what I'm going to put in there.
Yeah. We cooperate with life in that way, co-authors. And, it's because life didn't just pick you up by the scruff of the neck and drop you here. Mm-hmm. There was some participation from Pasha to, contact the monastery, set it up, put it on the calendar, make the arrangements, attend whatever practice events you do all throughout the year. So there's that ongoing cooperation with what the heart prompts, or we might say life is offering, and to create the life that we get to have.
Yes, and in the participation, there is a responsibility on me to fully participate, to
don't take advantage is it the right combination of words, but to be here for why I get here, and there is a responsibility in life to be present in life. I'm not sure if I'm making sense, but there is not only, well, I do what I want, there is a calling in me to be good or to be the best I can be. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a responsibility, it's a aligning oneself to be the best that we can be in any given moment, in any given circumstance, to attune with what is so, what is actually so. And it is a, use the phrase taking advantage of what is offered. And it really is kind of availing oneself of all of the support and support, that is offered to us.
Yes, and it's all joyful celebration. And one more reason for me to celebrate this is a year where I practiced all year without. Like, I have this thing that sometimes I'm just like, oh, yeah, this practice, I have other things to do, and then, boom, I'm sliding off, and then I have, reestablishing and coming back. So this year, there was no time where would I go and make a choice of not practicing. And it felt like here, there's celebration, but there's something gentle and tangible, and something that I'm bringing to this practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing my practice here.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not a go away and then practice is something I have to do.
Yeah.
No, it's more of a this is just bringing my practice here.
Yes.
To this place.
It was amazing that it's possible, and it's that's what I want. That's
mm-hmm.
what I wanted, but I couldn't imagine that will ever happen. And
mm-hmm.
here I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And here you are. And it is such a contribution.
Embarking on a new workshop in going beyond limitations, and was just hearing a lot in that first interaction about, just letting life through and noticing the limitations and not taking them personally and not being controlled by them.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically around cleaning up money karma. I can feel that it's an area where there's such strong control that there's an excitement, there's a rolling up the sleeves, because it's like entering this really dense jungle of beliefs and assumptions and projections and limitations. And I know, because I've been through this process with other things, that bringing conscious compassionate awareness to it is going to, clear it out and clean it up. So it's like, there's both on the one hand some identification with the fear,
mm-hmm.
and there's also awareness of the excitement and a trust in the process, and it's just all going on at the beginning of this workshop. It's kind of
mm-hmm.
really, yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it, that there's this whole new area, a whole new karmic, adventure here,
yeah.
right? We're cleaning up money karma.
Yeah.
Jungle. dense. And it's no, it doesn't sound like there's anything subtle about it, right? It's dense, it's big, it's seeing everything.
And
right?
It's time.
Yes, and it's time.
Yeah.
And you know, and what struck me about how you were laying it out is that there was an awareness. Okay, I'm seeing that little fear, I'm seeing the excitement, I'm seeing all the leaves and the trees and the everything that needs to be cleared out. I'm seeing the willingness, you know. So there's this big, go back to what we were talking about earlier, the big container.
Yes, yes.
That willingness and awareness that is ready, it's time. Mm-hmm. To take this on, to rolling up the sleeves and let's go.
It really is a rolling up the sleeves feeling, and awareness of the support to do it too, in all these different ways. It's like, really feeling in touch with the support and practicing being in that role of the person supporting the human to take the steps.
Yeah.
You know, so this week was like the beginning of the workshop in the sense of taking the first concrete steps. And really, it's one of those things where the level of resistance, as I heard somebody say, and I've heard that phrase used, that you think you were building an atomic bomb in a basement.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Really that level of...
What are you doing?
Exactly. And so there was the subtle level, the procrastination, okay, mm-hmm. seeing that form of control and going beyond that. And mm-hmm. And then like messages of inadequacy, inadequacy, like, so the first step was putting together this application. And it had lots of different pieces to it. So this first, like, the what are you doing? And then, you're not going to be able to do it. And just seeing the, like, absurdity of that, like, that there are all of the faculties needed to... getting in touch with reality
uh-huh.
on that. And then this anxiety of, like, what if I'm missing? And... like somehow something's going to go wrong. So this morning I was doing the final check to make sure everything was in there, and just turned on the recorder to actually walk through everything that was in there, to have that actually support for making that movement to the one supporting the mm-hmm. person to do it. And because it's almost like this whole state in the body of, like, it's like this vibe, like frozen, paralyzed, anxious, like I can't even see anymore what's on the list, what's on the checklist, and I know I've checked it,
mm-hmm.
but this weird untrustworthy feeling that it's trying to get going, and it's like, okay, I know what this is,
mm-hmm.
it's just an obsessive messing up attempt. So I turned on the recorder and said, okay, we've got this, and then of course awareness expands and I can see it doing this and all like that, and just getting some distance from it. And it was all the meaning making, like what if you don't, and what if you do, and what like that. And so the mentor said, just where are your feet? What's here in this moment? There's an envelope on the table with some pieces of paper in it. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It was just
And powerful. And the movement that is so striking, I think, was from the person doing it.
Yeah.
So being the person who does it, the thing, and it sounds like that person was getting attacked by the compulsive, upset with the questions, and what ifs,
Yeah.
And so there she is, she's kind of shaking and anxious,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even see it anymore.
Yeah.
And then having the movement, making the movement to the person who's supporting the person who's doing it,
yes.
or the presence, or the mentor, or the compassion.
Yeah.
That is, and that movement is everything.
Yes.
Because in that movement, it cut off at the knees all of that what if, meaning making
mm-hmm.
nonsense,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just cut it off at the knees,
mm-hmm.
and could say, okay, where are your feet?
Yeah.
Here's the paper. Let's get this here now.
This here now.
And
yeah.
in that movement, it sounds like she was fine.
Yeah.
Everything was fine.
Everything was fine. Everything was okay. Exactly. And that was the the message on the recorder, you're okay, it's okay.
And you know, Well, I was just going to say, and that's the whole point, isn't it? Not the whatever's in the paper, not the thing going the way we mail it off and we hope we get the response. None of that is really the point. The human being getting saved in that moment from the, that's the point.
Exactly.
The being the compassionate.
Yeah, that really just practicing presence. Because it's one of those things like going into the workshop, there is like some sort of intellectual understanding that, yeah, there's a big identity invested in this control around scarcity, fear, like that. And so, yeah, it's going to do everything it can to stop me from having a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing. And then actually doing the concrete steps and having it all come up is another thing. And to have the recorder there is just an amazing tool.
It's kind of the difference between knowing there's a workshop and doing the workshop.
Yes. Yeah. The difference between I've signed up for the workshop and all the things that come up before you get
there.
You get there. And then, you know, you arrive.
And then it's time to fill out the application.
And then get to talk about it in group. I mean, it is a huge adventure. And I even saw the control come up this morning, like, well, you can't say anything about it, because what if it's a complete failure? You know, and then you'll... So don't even, you know, just complete... Like, keep a complete lock on the whole thing. I'm just remembering again that attitude of mind of, it's okay that this hell goes on. What's not okay is to leave her in it. I think that was the approach this morning of seeing all of that come up and, you know, what's not okay is to leave her in it. It's okay that it's going on. We don't have to take it personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the taking it personally would have been leaving her in it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those things where you can see the karma trying to create reality.
Yes.
You know, all of the messages that it's sending about inadequacy and scarcity and not enough and it's not going to work and, you know, what if, and it's like you can see the control mechanism, like it's creating reality by talking about it before it's happened. Right?
Yeah.
Just how much it's got invested in maintaining itself in that way, maintaining this reality.
Yes.
And just to be getting some distance from that without needing to go to the other side of somehow being identified with having to fix it or you know, have a different outcome and be wildly successful on a content level.
Yeah.
Just to, because that's just control of the...
Yes, because that's just another version of the illusion. It can spin this illusion of it's going to be bad or whatever, or it can spin this illusion of, ooh, but it's going to be amazing, it's spectacular, and we're going to be successful and all of that. And you're divesting yourself of either.
Yeah.
Right. And it is fully invested in that. It's the only way it can survive is by it's gotta spin something.
Exactly. And if it can spin something like a practice success, like cleaning up this karma and being free of it, then that's just, you know, it just reminds me of some guidance I got when I was coming up to the end of a project recently, which was eyes on the prize here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes on the prize here.
Mm-hmm.
Not on what's gonna be accomplished or transcended or here.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, going to be the approach for this workshop too. Eyes on the prize here.
Eyes on the prize here.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Jim.
I'm appreciating the conversation so much. The Project Joy assignment from yesterday keeps coming up, and I have no idea what what the quote was or the exact assignment, but it was that place of expanding awareness out of basically the that place of realizing the world is huge. It's a mystery that we even exist. I mean, this is not the Project Joy assignment. I don't know what it actually said, but this is what I took from it. It's just that place of like, right, right. That place of none of it matters and every tiny little thing matters, that place. Mm-hmm. And that what I took from the assignment, I can't remember exactly what it was, but just that place of, just keep coming back to that, expanding up, out of that. Which I just love that reminder, because what I was looking at in some of the conversations this morning, what was arising for me is this fascinating process that I watch around, for years we did a process called Best Year Yet, of kind of looking at the beginning of the year at, your intentions and that sort of thing. And so I've done that for myself, and it's so interesting to see the solid integrity of it's always in the front of my awareness. I have a process that I do around it, looking at the different things and what I want for the year, and how what just came up in that last conversation was I recently have been seeing how it happens. The actual intention gets carried out in these micro ways, mm-hmm. like these little tiny actions, right? And that then suddenly the intention is actually happening. Mm-hmm. But all the way along the way, every time there's a choice to continue and actually do the thing, first of all, before it, the voice is saying, it's so little. Almost like, it's so little, why bother doing it? And then once it happens, it's, that was easy. So, but then it reminded me of the thing of the trust, building the trust. What I so resonated with that is that place of, I sort of did a checking in on all of it process recently and realizing, wow, that's all actually happening. And it's not that it's happening like, I'm going to now do this thing and I'm going to create the It's just happening in these little tiny choices when it's time to make those little tiny choices. And the piece of it is letting go when it isn't time. So, for example, if I'm on retreat, if I'm facilitating a retreat, that's what I'm doing. I'm not doing these other things. And not going to a place of, just being present to what's happening in the moment. And when that's complete, if there's no self-hate, there's no idea of what I should have been doing, then it's completely available to just pick up and do this other thing. That makes sense.
Yeah, so let me see if I'm with you. So it sounds like the process you're describing is, using the best year together as sort of the example. So at the beginning of the year, you set these intentions and set this everything, and then you just live life as it comes up in the moment. And what you're seeing is that those intentions are getting carried out in minute little ways all the time. And that sort of drops in like, like a consolation or a realization that this is happening.
Yeah.
And then, of course, conditioning to try to poo-poo it about, that was easier. Or whatever.
Meanwhile, it's trying to get me not to do it.
Yes.
And then once I actually see that and do it, that was so easy.
And then what you kind of went to was the appropriateness to the moment. That it's not going to happen in these minute little ways according to some grand plan of minute little ways. It happens when the moment calls for it to happen. So if you're facilitating a retreat, that's what you're doing. There can't be, or there isn't, a forcing of any of it.
Right, an idea of how it's going to go.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the conversation earlier around that it's like life is living us and we participate in that process, right? So it's kind of like, well, whatever life wants to have happen this year, that's what will happen. Which is completely and absolutely true. But there's something about bringing the attention back to what I want, or however you want to say that, bringing the attention back, It's sort of that place I've heard us talk about before of like, just letting you know, like, this is the, this is something that would be fun for me, or that's important to me, and with that place of, there's several of them that's like, oh, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out, because I'm bringing attention to it over and over and over, and as far as I can see, there's nothing.
Right, nothing happening.
Right,
But it's still here. It's still here in my awareness, and it'd be interesting to see if is life saying no? Is life saying not yet?
Exactly.
Is there something being set up that I'm just totally, not out into yet?
Yeah. And if it's not about me, and there's nothing for me to get from it, and nothing for me to do, nothing for me to gain or to lose, going back to that last conversation, then it is just that kind of fascinating process. There was one of them, actually, that, I feel like the intention really sincere and just right there, and truly nothing has happened with it. And then just, 2 days ago, I think, suddenly, there was a space. And it was just boom, that one dropped in, and then all these things happened with it. And so just that, oh, that's fascinating. That's so interesting to watch.
We are so not in control.
We are so not in control.
Not of the timing, not of the content, not of the anything.
Not except
of the participation.
Yeah,
not even that, really.
Because it's that same thing that we joke about where you walk into the meditation hall, and I have no idea where I'm going to sit. I have no idea until I sit down. And in that same way, it would seem like, well, I'm making the choice now to do this, or I was making the choice not to do it before.
Yeah.
But it just feels like there's a way in which, when it really isn't about me, it's just that kind of larger process. I'm really kind of not making that choice.
Yeah.
I'm just present for, that's what it feels like bringing the intention to it all the time allows is, bringing the intention to it, that takes, 3 minutes every morning? There's always time for that, right? So then it feels like that's always an awareness, so that when there is an unexpected space, it just, whoop, there it is.
Well, and I just got back, it just dropped in why it related to the exercise for the Project Joy. It's so big, because, even those 3 minutes of bringing the attention, that just means you get to show up for it. But it's still just happening, right? Mm-hmm. From where we're going to sit to the meditation hall to when there's going to be an opening to do that thing or not or whatever. And it's whether we get to be present for the fun, fascinating, unfolding of life.
That's a nice connection. Yeah, and to realize, it is a good connection because that stuff, quote stuff, happening or not happening, well, that's so not the point. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, wow, that is really, really not the point. Which I think is where the bog down can happen, is when it feels like that is the point, and where the joy happens.
Yeah.
It's when there is that full, wholehearted participation with no illusion that that's the point. Right? That the thing, getting that thing done or taken care of or making that happen is going to give me the experience. The experience is that wholehearted participation.
Yeah. There's no friction. There's no resistance to the movement when we aren't confused that it's not really the thing. I mean, the thing may be the tube through which we get to flow, right, or something like that. But we don't. But we're not like clinging to the sides. We're there for the flow.
Yeah. It's almost like
water slide. You just get to
water slide. I can see why that would be appealing to them. But it's almost like that, in order to experience life in this way, we have a form.
Yes.
You know, so it's that same, like, we have eyes that we can see through, we have a nose we can smell, and mouth we can taste, and, you know, ears, so we have these things that we can, through which we can experience all that.
Yeah. It was the Alan Watts quote, wasn't it?
It was.
The name
of
Betty Brown, or
that
whatever,
was
yeah, that you're, it's just you're peopling.
Right, exactly. It's a John and Mary.
Yeah, this form and that form is done.
I also was intrigued by that quote, and at the end of the day when I was recording, you know, in the course of the day, that quote would come up, and you know, there would be this sort of, well, I should think large, which doesn't work. And,
I can't think large.
That's right, and so... But it was almost in what was just being described, it was like this reference, it's like a point of reference. And so what I was able to say at the end of the day was that some things happened differently than usual. And I think it's because somehow there was some larger container within which they were happy. So I've had this ongoing saga with this water pump at my house for the garden, and and I think I exhausted my feeling okay about traveling Josh up here to help me with this, you know, and so it has stopped again, and so I had some input from somebody else about, yeah, where is this, or where is that, and I realized that I had gotten into a kind of learned helplessness about this, you know, that, oh, you've probably got to call so-and-so. So I was looking at it, and I thought, the battery's new, and the pump is new. They've got to work. So, I don't know how this works, but I can take this all apart and put it back together again and see if it works. So, so I did. Uh-huh. And then it was proposed that maybe a little bit far from the garden, so I worked out how to get this whole tank over by the garden and move everything over there. And what I was aware of, in the course of it, there wasn't any conversation going on about, I can't do this. And there wasn't any conversation going on about, this will work. It was just, well, this is worth a try. And I can look at it and say, okay, now these parts are what attached, so now I'll take them apart, and I'll put them over there, and I'll reattach them just the way I saw. And at this moment, it's working. Mm-hmm. But it was, what I realized was, it was all happening in this kind of, in a funny way, it was happening in a vacuum, in the sense that there wasn't, it was a vacuum of conversation. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, I think this, and then I think that, and then we'll put, I didn't even think. We'll put this together with that, and if this moves over here, let's try that.
Yeah.
It was all like, well, let's try this, it was such a satisfying process. Uh-huh. And it's a process around which it's easy for me to get into a kind of helplessness or a kind of, I'm going to make this work.
Uh-huh.
And this kind of grim, clenched jawed.
Result oriented.
And ego oriented. But I've got to make this work. I'm so frustrated that therefore I've got to make this work. Mm-hmm. And none of that was going on. And so I don't know if I was, I don't know how it relates to the quote, but I had a sense that it did.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow there was getting out of ego's way.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of which, something really satisfying could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And something very focused could happen. And it was a lovely day, actually.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like it. You know, because what, and I don't know if this is the connection you're drawing, but it's what dropped in as you're talking about the quote as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, though that quote or any kind of inspiring thing that we put our attention on can serve as the touchstone or the, you know, whatever, container, however we want to say it, where consciousness sort of just is.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the day, as the course of events and happenings and circumstances come up, when ego comes in and you what dropped into that field of awareness was, there's some learned helplessness going on here. And so there was that choice point, right? That, okay, I want to just sit here with it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And in that vacuum where the voices weren't being entertained, mm-hmm. you know, they were recognized. It's not like you were oblivious to them at all. You saw them. There was that ego, I got to have it. Make this happen, or
what? That's what usually happens.
Okay,
it's interesting. It wasn't happening.
Okay, it wasn't happening this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Like they were just not even being entertained. They weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that space, there could just be the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Just be the insight. Try this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that process, that just doing it without any attachment or any idea. Any expectation that it's going to work or that it's not going to work, all of that was gone. And so the satisfaction of just being with the moment
mm-hmm.
could be enjoyed, be appreciated.
And what I'm hearing and what you're saying is it's interesting that what there was just energy moving.
Uh-huh.
And that energy moving is what he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy that moves the stars,
oh,
and it's the energy that moves Sam Smith.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And within that energy, there aren't large and small things.
Oh, that's such a good point.
There's just the thing you're doing. There's just the thing that's there.
Yeah.
I mean, one could say that was a very small thing. But in that context, those kind of terms don't apply.
Yeah, exactly. So one could say that a water pump is a very small thing, or one could say that a speck of stardust is a very small thing. But the energy that is moving all of the, you know, everything, it is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting.
And that evaluating size and importance. And so just free to move.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really felt like, was this. There was just a freedom for the energy to do it.
Yeah.
And interestingly, so we're going to be going away again this week, and so, you know, there's that, here's the list of things that got to get done.
Uh-huh.
So there were a number of things that couldn't possibly have gotten done yesterday that got done yesterday, because in the course of doing that, there were some time gaps, and so there was just, I can do this now.
Uh-huh.
And so all these things got done without conversation. I think that's part of it.
I do
without
too.
Conversation.
I think you're on to something, Penny.
I think I'm like, all these things got done because a space opened up and there was just an awareness of, this is something that could happen.
Uh-huh.
And it was really quite lovely.
Don't you just love that?
Yeah, I do.
And it is so, I mean, words fail, but it's so what you're describing, life orchestrating every single movement, moment, day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when there's that one task that fits so perfectly into this little space gap that seems to have opened up, and
right.
then it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's so different when life is orchestrated. It is so different than when conditioning is marching us through.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sense of push.
Yeah.
There's
that's
just really kind of a flow.
That's such a good contrast. Life's orchestration or ego's march.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, more on yesterday's Project Joy assignment. I was traveling to come here, and I've gotten off the train. I'm waiting in a train station to be picked up a little later on, and that's when I maybe I read it a little. Actually, I think I read it a little early while I was on the train. But I had this thing I needed to, this couple of things I needed to send, you know, via email, whatever. And I had my lunch to eat, and there was, you know, there was a certain amount of time, devoting time to go to meet my ride. And I was just sitting there, kind of come on. I had been in the Bay Area where it was cool, and it had just gotten warm.
That's an understatement.
And sitting in the train station and on this bench, and in front of me is just a train, you know, just sitting there, and that was my vista, and I just sat there and I just started, you know, having that expanded awareness thing, I found if, you know, that I could have attention on the hara and expand the awareness, And it was out of this I, me, my, mine kind of thing that was talked about in the assignment. And it was just really great to let go of the personal. And then for a little bit I saw, as I sent those, I had gotten back into the, you know, because it wasn't working. You know, I was trying to do this thing, and I tried all these different ways, and it wasn't working, you know, on my phone. You know, and then, and at some point I realized, oh yeah, I got caught back up in the me, my, mine, you know, and okay, that's fine. And then went back to the larger awareness. And I found as I was, and I did the one other thing I wanted to do, and then ate my lunch, and I found that pretty much always in the past, I would have been worried about the time and whether I was going to have enough time. Mm-hmm. And I find this just been more letting go of things in general and just being okay in situations. And I just, you know, I didn't hurry, didn't rush, you know, and I just was there for, and there was, you know, just enough time. Uh-huh. And then I went and, you know, and went down and was just a few minutes early for the ride. And anyway, it was just really nice to, you know, to be able to slip into that, you know, that larger awareness.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yes. Nice, to say the least, right? Because what you're describing is practice. I mean, it is a, you know, you said the whole process of practice, right? So you're sitting there, you know, with all of the things, the food, the emails to send, the time, the train, the heat, the everything. It's just, okay, this is what's here. And then it occurred to you that you could drop into Vihara, expand awareness, you know, maybe, I don't know, quote, prompted by the quote or what, but just, it was available to you. Okay, oh, neat, love doing this, okay. And then, gonna send an email, it's not working. There it shrinks back, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't working. And then now
awareness is about this big.
Then, yeah, awareness is like a centimeter around it, right? And there is the my, me, mine. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's here. And then it drops in. Oh, I see what happened. I got the awareness shrunk back into I, me, mine. And with that, there's the movement again, back into the, and then we get to watch it. It shrinks, it expands, it shrinks, it expands, it shrinks. And this is perfect, and this is not working, but this is perfect. And this is, you know, and it is just the movement that we get to experience, because we're here to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I've looked sometimes in practice about, you know, all my efforts to make whatever practice thing happen, you know, and that never really works. But then, you know, just who knows why, it just happens. And that expanded awareness feels like the same thing, because then I watched the trying to have that happen a little later.
Yeah.
You know, that, but it's an effortless, you know, there's really, I mean, just the minute turning attention to, you know, and that's it. It takes this little bit of effort.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even call that effort. It's more like intention, or almost, that doesn't really work.
I know. I think Dogen says, like, it's a hair's breadth from heaven to hell, right? And there's just any eye that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like intention. It's a little time, maybe, but not effort. There's just hardly any word to describe it, but you know the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is what we, you know, like what we've been talking about this morning, there is a participation, there's a showing up, there's an actively showing up,
mm-hmm.
that is required, but the transformation or the awareness just happens.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not, and I was just looking at, as you were talking, it's not ego's participation. It's not the I's participation. You know, what is participating?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there, you know, but there, it's like, is, you know, willingness is participating, I mean, or life is participating in life, that feels like the closest.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, because I couldn't really say what it is that participates. You know, it's yeah, but it, but it's, and because you know, all of this ego doesn't know that other place is possible. I mean, there might be an intellectual idea, a memory that okay, this other place is available, but not really. You know, it doesn't know the experience, and in the same way, it's not what is participating in the, you know, that intention or that whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not ego participating because it doesn't have any experience. It's an illusion.
Hmm.
But the closest thing that seems, you know, language fails, but that life participating with life. Yeah, it is. It's never the ego identity that is doing the participation when we slip into those moments that you're describing.
In regards to one of the earlier conversations, this idea of, well, what was coming up for me was an expression that I read recently, which was deeds of no purpose.
Deeds of no purpose.
Just somebody described it so perfectly.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Deeds of no purpose.
When I conditioned mind reacts to that without a clue. Just cannot fathom why I would do anything without a purpose.
Uh-huh.
And,
don't you love it when ego is just confounded?
Yeah, it really does. Those two together, just like, they just meet right head on.
Uh-huh.
And,
leaves
a person in the moment. So that's just one little fun thing. And then I've actually been looking at self-expression a lot lately, related to everything that self-expression involves. And with the idea of that there's a certain amount of energy, life force, that comes through a body.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not fully expressed, if there's anything left over, then that's what the survival system gets.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So for me, it's like a parallel between, we talk about attention and having all of the attention absorbed by the moment or into the awareness. And so it feels the same way with energy, that either life is using it and all of it, and it's kind of, again, it's one of those check things, places that conditioned mind goes, well, not sure, 100% of it. Not even a sliver left over.
Yeah.
And so with that, then, looking at how, so if I'm in a conversation, then, of course, life force is powering up the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever energy blockage comes out of that, then, is if there's repressed energy in that, then there's going to be some kind of emotion that comes with it,
mm-hmm.
or some kind of feeling. I don't know if it'll be emotion, but some kind of a body sensation of feeling that's going to come with it. So just experimenting with that and trying to get more familiar with, like, all of the beliefs around emotions and what they're supposed to be, and, you know, a good person experiences only good emotions. It's like totally crazy making. that there has to be a reason for an emotion or feeling to arise. It's like thoughts, you know, there doesn't seem to be any particular reason for thoughts arriving, and there. For me, it was this sense that, well, emotions are different somehow, really looking to go, no, these things are just coming flat out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And looking to, in some sense, have control of the body, not control, but actually move through the body in the way that it wants to move through the body,
uh-huh.
to be able to surrender to whatever that energy is to allow it to come through. And I just feel like just I'm not going there.
Yeah. So it's so interesting. It sounds like a fascinating workshop around the energy and how it relates to the self-expression and emotions. Because one thing you said earlier on was that if there's something that comes through and it's not fully self-expressed or whatever, then there are remnants from which ego can come in and use and stir up
and support itself with
that. To support itself on that. Yeah, to get in there and live off that. And then it somehow gets tied in with there's a experience that you've seen that thoughts seem to just arise out of nowhere, but feelings and emotions seem to be in a different category. But to see that no, actually they seem to come out of nowhere too, and they just move where they will. And ego, or there's a, if this is what you were saying, that there's a conditioned ego system that puts the brakes on that's not, no, they don't just move because they go, there's a reason,
exactly.
We've got to control it, we've got to do something with it, whatever, but there's a firm, no, we can't go there.
Yeah, that would be, that belief or that conversation would be one of the hindrances to the energy just moving through on its own, which it would, just left alone, of course it would.
Yeah.
And then seeing how it's like there's the first, like an analogy, you have water behind a dam or something like that, and you get the first little trickle that gets plugged up.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's a real difficulty.
Right, but the pressure is starting now,
yeah.
Right?
Over time, then I might notice it as an innocuous conversation, but somewhere there's whatever is around is building, and it's going to start leaking through in ways that some are going to be unfortunate, but just basically leaking through in places that. It's almost like that energy is going to find an expression somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's not much choice in it, right? It's going to come through, and it may not even be upsetting. It might just be a little humorous remark somewhere, or it could be all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It could be a whole range of things. But as that water builds, then there's that energy. And it's gonna go someplace.
It's gonna, The water will flow where it will. Mm-hmm. And the suffering comes in when it sounds like it, and tell me if this is what you're saying, that when there's a little plug, it's not gonna trickle there. Let's stop it there.
It's like a little mosquito around your ear.
Yeah.
That's a real annoyance, but I'm not gonna pay attention to it.
Kind of a blocking off or a long off in that process. Yeah. Pressure is starting to build, and you've seen it. It's going to come out somewhere, but the process of damming it up, of stopping it, trying to stop the flow, sounds like the conditioned process that you're really looking at. And what are the beliefs and the assumptions and everything surrounding that?
I think there was a belief about just dropping the conversation is plenty. Right? And yet there's all of that whatever has been containing that's going to arise after the conversation, after it stops. And if that's unpleasant for conditioning, then that may start another conversation or something like that. So just really in a place of attempting to allow the expression wherever I find myself coming to. So if I'm coming to a place where there already is some intensity, then can I just allow in that place, or right, and then not have any limitations on what that might look like or those kinds of things.
Yeah, that does seem the process of just allowing.
Yeah.
Not trying,
yeah.
Not well, not trying, not in doing so much as in allowing.
Yeah.
I was just seeing that too, that really ties in with that clue.